If you would turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, starting there in verse 1. Says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards the other virgins came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." Let us pray. Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to speak tonight, Lord. I just pray, Lord, you'd give me the words to say, Lord, that they would be received as your words and not my words, Lord. Just speak to hearts, Lord. May we all leave changed from the way we came in, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Here, and Jesus is talking in parables. He's given an example of 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The nice thing about parables is each time you read them, you can get something different out of them. What God laid on my heart for tonight was the comparison between the physical lamps that they had, that they used to light their way or walking around, because they didn't have electricity back then or nice LED flashlights, to that of our light that's supposed to be in us, that we are supposed to be the light to the world, a city upon a hill which cannot be hidden. So as we think about the oil lamps here being us and his light shining through us to others, there's a couple of points I want us to see here. Some things we probably already know but may need reminding of from time to time. First, we see that the bridegroom tarried. He was later than what they had expected. So we have to remember that things happen on God's timeline and not our own.
Amen.
That's why the wise brought the extra oil. They were prepared for the unexpected delay. The oil, I would like for us to think of, is ourselves being stirred up for God. When we're stirred up for God, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, and our light's shining bright. When we're not keeping ourselves stirred up, then we're allowing our light to go out, much as when the oil lamp would be without the oil. The parable here, Jesus didn't tell us why those 5 didn't bring extra oil with them. However, I do know that we are today what yesterday's decisions made us. If we think about it, what we decided to do yesterday shaped who we are today. If we were wise yesterday to keep ourselves stirred up for God, then we are in a better position today to let our light shine for Him so that others can see Him in us. The second point here is to never depend on someone else's oil. If we think about it, the story of the 5 foolish ones, they wanted to borrow from the 5 wise. The wise said no. As we keep ourselves stirred up, we have to do that on our own. That's an individual decision that each of us have to make on a daily basis. We can't depend on somebody else to keep us stirred up, to give us that positive word every morning, to keep us on the right foot. It's a decision we have to make ourselves. We were discussing kind of the same topic this morning in Sunday school, and someone said, yeah, I want to do it, I need to do it, but you know, talking never gets anything done, does it? We're to be doers of the word, just not hearers. So we all know what we're supposed to be doing. We need to be spending our time in prayer. We need to be reading the word daily. But a lot of times, it's just talk. Yeah, I need to do that, and that's as far as it goes. As soon as we start, the devil puts things in our lives to keep us too busy for God, and we push him to the back burner. And as we do that, our lights go dim for the Lord. You know, when you're thinking about keeping yourself stirred up and never having to depend on someone else to keep you stirred up for God, keep God's promises before our eyes, and to keep us. One example in my life, I think most of y'all know that last year we struck off with a family and went to El Paso, Texas. And my, how Texas is different than North Carolina. Once you get past Dallas-Fort Worth, you're in a whole nother world. We were driving along. Jeremiah was starting to get fussy. He was starting to run a fever. My wife said, let's go to an urgent care while we're here in the big city. Let's get him checked out. I said, no, we can make it. I was thinking about the money we were spending, what it was costing us to go out there, and I didn't want to have an urgent care bill on top of it. I thought, no, he'll be all right. Let's just go ahead and call it a night, find us a hotel, and he'll get some rest. He'll be fine. So that's what we did. Got up the next morning, and we struck off on our way on to El Paso. And once you leave Fort Worth, you are literally in the middle of nowhere. There's no grass. There's no people. There's nothing. There's not a state trooper on the highway. You are literally in no man's land. So we're in the middle of the desert. This fever keeps going up. And it's like we got to find somewhere. We got to do something. So I'm driving on the interstate. It's an 80-mile-an-hour interstate, so you can make good time, but you're in nothing. There's nothing before you. So you're sitting there making decisions. Do you go forward? Do you keep pressing on towards your destination? Do you turn around and go back to Dallas-Fort Worth where you at least know there's help there if you need it? Keep driving. Nothing. It's just me and the family. Cell service doesn't work out there. You make a phone call, but internet doesn't work. So all of our nice gadgets that we try to say, well, let's figure out where we're at, what's on the road in front of us, where's the nearest hospital, where's the urgent care, they don't work. We got full signal. It's lower than dial. We can't do nothing. We're out there in the middle of nowhere. We make a phone call, but we don't know who to call. So we're traveling. It's just us. You know, it's times like that when you definitely realize that you can't depend on somebody else's soul to keep you stirred up.
Amen.
Because it's just you. And you've got to remember all those promises of the Lord's.
Yeah.
And pray for and remember what we're praying for. And knowing and having the faith to back up those prayers. Because a prayer without faith is useless. So we're still traveling along. We get to Midland, Texas, which is just that midway between Dallas-Fort Worth and El Paso. 5 hours either way to a big city. Stop at a Cracker Barrel to eat. Thought we'll get an air conditioner, try to get him cooled off, figure out what we need to do. So we start asking the waitress, where's the urgent care around here at? I don't know. She asked somebody else. I don't know. Well, do you have a hospital here? Well, yeah, I think we do. Where's it at? Everybody doesn't know where the hospital is. Found out later that Midland's an old boom town. Sprung up literally in the middle of nowhere. Nobody's from there because there's nothing there but the oil rigs. So nobody in the restaurant knew where an urgent care was, knew where the hospital was. Yeah, we've got one. Don't know where it's at. So we're in a city, but it's still just us. Praying, Lord, send somebody to us to show us something. We've got to do something. Not to the point that I'm ready to call 911 and ask for an ambulance, but we're headed that way shortly. Finally, we remembered we do have OnStar in the truck, so we hit the little button. A lady comes on there and asks us what we need. We tell her we need a doctor, you know, an urgent care or something. So she verifies our location and says, well, let me call and see if they're still open. She comes back on the line and says, I called the first one. They've taken their last patient for the day. Says, let me try another one. Same story, they're closing. It's probably about, 5 o'clock on a Saturday evening. Still just us. We're talking to somebody, but it's still just us. So she comes back and says, your only option is the hospital. Like, okay. Well, can you give us directions to get there? Yeah, they can do that. So finally technology was helping us out, and we were headed to the hospital. We were finally going to get something done. But for a period of, 3-4 hours, Dana, it was basically just us in the middle of nowhere. Even on our GPS, there's nothing. You zoom out, it's nothing. You zoom out, nothing. Never realized how much I missed green grass till I went out there. But the point is, you know, we're going to be in situations where we can't depend on anybody else to keep the Lord in front of us. We're going to have to keep ourselves stirred up so that our light is bright. Our light is shining bright for Him. Because we have to remember that the only Jesus some people may see is the Jesus in us. And they're going to be watching us. When things are going wrong, they're going to be watching to see if we're different. Are we walking the walk, or are we just talking the talk? In the example here in the parable, 5 were, 5 were not. 5 had made bad decisions, which did not put them in the right place at the right time for where they needed to be. You know, the parable ends here, it says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. And we know that, but a lot of times, I don't think we really take that to heart. Think, well, it's been 2,000 years. Yeah, it could be tomorrow, but it probably won't be. It'll probably be sometime on off in the future. I've got time to ask for forgiveness, or I've got time to witness to so-and-so that I work with, or I've got time to be better and do more for the Lord. But we really don't know. We don't know when our last day is going to be, and we don't know when He's going to come back for us. You know, just as the 5 wise in the parable were, they had their ducks in a row. They had done what they had supposed to do, and their lights were ready. They were able to go into the marriage supper while the other 5 were locked out. You know, a lot of times I hear people say, do you really think He'll come in your lifetime? I say, well, it doesn't really matter. Either way, I'm going to end up in the same place. Whether He comes to get me or I go to get Him, we're still going to be together in the end. And you know, a lot of times people have asked me, said, where would you like to go overseas if you could go somewhere? I'd say, well, I'd like to go to Israel. I'd like to see the Holy Land. I'd like to be there and see where Jesus walked when He was here on earth. And you know, the first reaction most people give me is, oh, you can't go over there. They'll kill you. You'll get blowed up. You'll just be sitting in a cafe or something, and a car bomb will go off. And yeah, it's not safe. You can't go over there. And you know, I thought, we shouldn't, as Christians, live our life in fear like that. Because we know the end result. Whether we go or He comes to get us, we're going to the same place. I think back on my life, and I think, you know, after 9/11 here in the United States, I had to take a business trip to go to St. Louis. It was in the first part of November, so basically about 2 months after 9/11. And, of course, that was a time period, you know, everybody wanted to be at home. You didn't want to be out traveling because there were still threats daily everywhere. Security was so tight you couldn't hardly do anything. So we drove out to St. Louis. It was about a 12-hour drive. We left, drove out there one day, basically. The truck didn't stop except to fill up with gas. Stopped at those little gas stations that have the food joints in them. One of us would pump the gas, and the other one would go and get the food. We'd eat going down the road. So we got out there. The hotel where the conference was basically a block from the Arch of St. Louis there. Thought, well, you know, while we're here, we need to go up in the Arch. This is a one-time thing, and security was ultra tight. We're like, it's just an arch, you know. You get in the little elevator thing, you ride up to the top, you look out the little teeny windows, and you can see forever. Because everything's flat out there, and there's really nothing obstructing your view other than the clouds. So we go, we look out the window, and like, oh, well, this is neat, you know, okay. We get in the elevator, we ride back down. So we get ready to leave, we found out why security was so tight. There had been threats that day against the arch. Somebody had threatened to blow it up or do something to it. And that's why security was the ultra tight. And, you know, I didn't think about it at the time, but looking back on it, the Lord presented me with an opportunity to witness to people, and I didn't take advantage of it. My light was not shining as bright as it should have been because I was not prepared for the opportunity. I didn't have the extra oil with me. If you think back in those days right after 9/11, all of our lives were shaken. People were a lot more willing to accept the gospel than perhaps they are today or they would have been beforehand. So we always have to be ready because we never know when the Lord's going to come or when the Lord's going to present those opportunities to us to witness, to give that kind, encouraging word, that opportunity to be different. You know, the Lord will give us great opportunities for faith to show itself. We just have to be ready. We have to be like the five wise and have that extra oil with us. We have to have ourselves stirred up and prepared for whatever the Lord, for when the Lord opens the door, we're ready to go through it. And we're ready to be a light to the community. You know, in closing, I'll say this. You know, when we think about our light shining to the community, if Jesus was to come in human form today and come and sit down beside us, what would he see? Would he see our light shining bright at work on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday? Would he see us being a witness, being an example, living for him? Or would he see us living just like everybody else in the world, fussing, complaining, not being grateful for the job that we've been provided? Would he see us being different, living a lifestyle that would want people to ask us, what's different about you? How can you handle your situations with such ease? If he was to come for dinner at our house, what would he see? Would he see an open Bible on the coffee table, or would he see a coffee table full of remotes? Jesus walked into the church today and sat on the back pew. What would he see? What would he think of the members sitting here today? Are we living our life with his light shining bright through us? Or have we not kept the oil that we should have, and we've let our light go dim? When the Lord gave me this message, I was reading it and thinking about it. So, you know, as I think back over my life, a lot of times I think I probably fit into the five foolish because I hadn't prepared myself for the opportunities that the Lord laid in front of me. Options were there. I wasn't prepared to take them. Not because of the Lord's fault. It was my fault. I had not prepared myself for what was to come. I hadn't taken extra oil to stir myself up with. I hadn't prepared the night before for the next day. You know, even if we think back to Genesis chapter 1, when God's creating the earth, it says he created the evening, and then it says, and the morning. Evening comes first. I've always kind of wondered, you know, when we think about a day, we tend to think of whenever we get up, that's when the day starts. So normally the day starts in the morning, we finish it at night. But in Genesis chapter 1, evening comes first. And the Lord's laid on my heart that the reason for that is because what we're doing tonight is preparing us for tomorrow. We are today what yesterday's decisions made us. So if we've made wise decisions, then we're in the right place at the right time and able to do the right thing. If we've made foolish decisions and not prepared ourselves, then we have just missed opportunities as they go by. So my challenge to each of you today is, this week, take our oil with us in the form of make sure we're reading our Bible daily, make sure we're praying, we're spending that time, we're fellowshipping with the Lord on a daily basis. We're doing it, we're not just saying, yeah, I need to do that, or I need to make time for the Lord. Let's actually sit down and do it. Be doers of the Word and accomplish something. Because we can talk all day long, but our light's not going to shine the way it should. If we're not keeping our oil stirred up to keep our light shining bright, we're not going to be walking in the fruits of the Spirit. People are not going to see something different in us. The best form of witnessing we have is our actions. If our actions are different, then people are going to say, hey, what's different about them? They're going to come to us and ask instead of us having to go beat on their door. And if you think about a lot of Christian people, when you look at their lives and you think, what do they have that I would want? Their light's not shining bright because they've not done their part. They've not spent the time in the Word, and they've not spent the time in prayer. And I think that's the biggest failure of Christians today, is we get too busy. We've allowed the devil to get us too busy that we've pushed the Lord to the back burner. We've pushed him down on the priority list. You know, we don't know when that day's coming. It could be tonight. There could be opportunities tomorrow that we need to be prepared for. Yeah, well, the Lord may come tomorrow. We don't know. But we do know who holds tomorrow, and the Lord's told us what he expects us to do. Now it's up to us to actually do it. So that's my challenge for you this week. Let's be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. Think about the virgins, and which do we want to be this week? The foolish or the wise? Because I promise you this, if we will spend the time in the Word, spend the time in prayer and fellowship with God and listening to God, if we did that for 7 days, we would all be in a better place come next Sunday.
Amen.
So just think about this week as you go through your daily activities. Carve out 5-10 minutes. Let's do what we all know we're supposed to do.